Portugal for 13 years. God's given us a diversity of experiences, and now back here in Canada helping prepare people to do that through the organization called Mission Prep. And so we are acting as directors, and Carolyn concentrates on the children's ministry and myself on the adult section. So we have a wonderful privilege to work with people from 25 to 30 different agencies, including the World Partners Missionaries, to do that. And some of the stories are just incredible of people that are making sacrifices to serve Jesus. And so it's a real encouraging ministry to be involved in. Although exhausting, but it is very encouraging. There we go. This is our family, as our adult children are no longer really small ones. So if you have one of those old pictures on your refrigerator where the kids still are in their flowery dresses, it's probably time to put that one away. We've got a new version on the back table if you'd like to take one home. Our oldest daughter, Charity, is there with her husband, Ben, and our first grandchild to be born, Anna Sophia, was born 14 weeks ago on Friday, and so she's a new blessing for us and an opportunity to learn some new skills of learning how to love, and so that's been a blessing. Kara, our next oldest, is 27 years old and working in Toronto with Toronto City Mission, and she helps teach moms that haven't finished high school. It's a five-month program, and she helps them work towards getting a graduation equivalency diploma. And so she is actually a missionary working in the Toronto area herself. And so both of our girls and our son-in-law have been real blessings in our lives. Our three main courses with Mission Prep is Impact, Plants, and Review. And the Impact and Plants courses are how to get to the field for missionaries. They're two-week intensive courses, and they are usually given in the Guelph area at the Guelph Bible Conference Center. Our review program this year will actually be in Cambridge, close by here at the Heritage Bible School.
So I'm going to share just a little bit about Impact. That's our Preparing for Effective Cross-Cultural Ministry. We look at culture and ministry, and we have about 25 people usually that come, and they bring their children. And we do different topics. We do an adult education style of teaching. So we engage people in debates, in discussions, in teamwork, grappling with some of the issues that they're going to face on the field. And it's just a really wonderful time for people to think together about what life is going to look like and share some of their experiences. We have a worldview field trip to the mosque that help people think about and decrease any fears of different cultures and different worldviews. We cover topics like spiritual vitality, moral purity, barriers and bridges to the gospel, conflict resolution, culture shock, cross-cultural communication, lots of different topics that are really pertinent to the people who come. We also have a great children's program. It's wonderful to see all your children in this congregation. Children are an important piece to be training, not just entertaining, but we are very intentional about how we do the program with the children because they're crossing cultures, and some of the teens that are, they're crossing cultures physically, but they're crossing barriers and bridges and facing bridges that they really need to be well prepared. And so we have some great object lessons. This is one we're going to do this morning for you just to have a taste of what we do. And and then our plans program, that's another two-week program that's for language acquisition, learning how to learn a language. People come really fearful about learning a language, like we were when we went to Portugal. And the strategies and the techniques that they're given and the opportunity to work with actual language helpers from a different culture help them to be prepared to go. And they leave thinking, yeah, I can really do this. So they go from anxiety coming to just a real freedom in thinking, yes, with God, I can do this. So it's an exciting course for us to see the change in their perspective.
The third program is new for us. We started it last November. It's called Review. It's for debriefing missionaries as they come back from fields. One of the ladies that attended the course in this past fall said, this was a healing process for me, or a very significant process that I went through during these 5 days to help me overcome some of my major difficulties. She was able then to return to the field. She returned to a place where the Western world people that were living in that country were targets for bombs, for threats. I can't even name the country for you in case somehow you might know this person or her name. And it's a very rewarding ministry that we are getting involved in. This summer, we're actually going to be doing it at Heritage Bible College, and we do it at the same time that at Emmanuel Bible College, there's another debriefing program happening for our teenagers called Reboot. So our two organizations are coordinating that week so that we're just down the road at Heritage Bible College and the other group at Emmanuel, so that families can have the whole spectrum involved in debriefing. So we've already sold out on this. In fact, we have more than enough, and we're trying to fit more people in, but unfortunately, we have to keep it pretty limited in order to keep it intimate. The world is becoming weirder out there. I don't know if you've noticed. And missionaries are sometimes on the leading edges of that weirdness, and so it takes an important part to come back and reflect on that experience. We do that in group work and then also in individual debriefing, as this slide shows. It might seem like Carol and I do a lot of things, but I haven't really said that a lot of our ministry is done through facilitators that we hire. We do a job at recruiting missionaries as they come back and ask them to share some of their stories. And we have a curriculum that's been established through many people's advice. And here is just a small sample of some of the people here. You might recognize even some of our World Partners missionaries up there. Keith and Ruth Ann Elliott are standing here on the end. Another World Partners associate missionaries are Ron and Adelia Fairbanks. And Denise Duggan here, who's our associate, is a person that was formerly with World Partners as an associate missionary too. So we've had a major contribution as a denomination in this ministry. Some of the things that we're asking God for and thanking Him for are the provisions of the facilities. We've had a growth period this past year and trying to find facilities that provide housing as well as classroom space is difficult. And so we've had to migrate away from Toronto towards Guelph in the Cambridge area here. And so that's been something that's been a blessing for us. We've all been able to balance our budget as well in 2016, which was a real answer to prayer. We're praying for growth and effectiveness for each participant as they come, because some people, the mission agency requires them to come, and they don't always come as a willing learner. And so we're trying to ask God for that supernatural touch before they come and work through that. Program development. Carolyn's right now writing curriculum for our review program and needs a lot of help in that area from the Lord for wisdom. And our own personal prayer request is for continued hunger to know Him even better. So we're excited about what He's taught us, but what He will teach us more. One more I might just slide in there is that we're looking for staff people for this summer. So I mentioned this. We're looking for one or possibly two people that have cross-cultural experience or grew up here in Canada, possibly as a new Canadian and an immigrant. Carolyn needs a child worker for July 23rd to July 28th. It's the 5-day debriefing program, as I mentioned, that will be at Heritage. So if you know of someone or would like to speak to us more about that, please get in touch with us after the service.
So I'm going to just take you through a little children's demo. And before I do, I meant to mention that when we do our programs, it's not just all about the academic feeding them, you know, the knowledge. It's really, we start the whole program with the importance of worship. Missionaries, sometimes we're all about, you know, producing, getting the world saved and doing. But unless we're being with the Lord, all our doing is not helpful. And so we really start our programs with the importance of our life as a worship to the Lord. And so this is a little demo of how we talk about transition, because the missionaries that are facing transition want to know what to expect. And so I've asked Dane to come up and be my helper this morning, and we're going to look at the different stages of transition. We start talking to the children about paradox of life. And you know the paradox? It was the best of times and the worst of times. And so we use the pair of ducks to help them to remember about paradox. And so we have, let me see, we have the yay duck and we have the yuck duck. He talks too. The yay duck and the yuck duck. And so we allow the children to talk in terms of the yay things that are happening in their life and the yuck things. Because moving to a whole different country, there's yays and there's yucks, just like any transition in life. And I'm sure many of you are going through transitions. That's what life is all about, isn't it? And so we try to help the children think through what they're going to face, and we talk in terms of yays and yucks. And so this is my transition bridge, and the stages, the first stage is the settled stage. So Dane, if you can take off your shoes and just hop up on the chair here. There we go. So Dane, you're in your, here you are in Kitchener, and life is good, right? There's, what are some of the yays about life here in Kitchener?
I know a lot of people. I'm like very comfortable here. I know everything around here, like I know the culture and stuff, so.
Any yucks? Can you think of any yucks?
Not really, no.
No yucks. Maybe sometimes you get stuck, or maybe sometimes it's boring, or anyway, I don't know. Come on along here. So that's the settled phase. So the unsettled phase, uh-oh. So here you are. Your parents have just got the call to go overseas to share Jesus to another into another culture. And you know what? I'm going to need some more tape. So what are some of the yays and yucks about that? What are some of the yays about thinking about going to a new culture?
You get to experience new things. It's like a totally new experience and stuff.
Lots of new food, new music, new whatever, right? Good. Any yucks about that?
Like preparing for it, like not knowing where you're going to stay or like financial stuff or anything like that.
Lots of unknowns, even maybe doubts. Lord, did my parents really hear you? I have to leave all my friends and all my activities and everything behind. Yeah, so kind of an unstable. So hop across here. So we talk to the children because they're honestly, the children are in this stage. Lots of them are coming. We talk to our participants before they come. And I'm talking to families right now that have sold their home. They've had to get rid of family pets. And the kids are like unsettled. And so we talk to them about God, how God is with you wherever you go. We can trust him. Because he says in Joshua 1:9, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. And so you can trust God for the next stage. Now this stage, yikes, I don't know about this. This is the chaos stage. This is when you get there and you don't speak the language, you don't maybe like the food. What else? What are some of the things when you get into your new culture that might be some yays or yucks?
Well, you don't know anyone at all. You're new to like the culture and stuff. You don't know anything there. You don't know anyone there.
Okay, so a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit chaos. You might not even be able to find your toothbrush for the first little while, eh? Living out of a suitcase, perhaps, while you find a home. Good. Now, do you think he can do this himself? No, we need help. Come on, guys. We need some guys to come and help. Volunteers. Come on. Thank you. We need... Yep. Good. Come. On this side, too, because I am holding the mic, so I can't help. Okay. Great. So, here we are, Dane. Now, hold on. So, this is the point. The point being... What's the point? There you go. Here he is. He's called out for help, and he's got good help. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's great. So, do you know what? We can't do chaos ourselves, can we? And when you're going through a major transition, when you're dedicating your little daughter, or when you're going to Peru, to a new country, you need help. And so you ask people to pray. You talk to God about praying, but you gather the family of God around, and in God's word, he says, we're part of God's team. We're on the Jesus team. And he says in Corinthians 12, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. He meant us to be in a team so that we could give and receive help. And with the kids, we let one go through, and then we get a team, and we strap them together with bungee cords. like they're a family. And they have to help each other get through this whole thing. And that's the case with a family. And sometimes what happens is the mom drops off the balls, honestly, and the whole family is affected. They're all connected on these bungee cords. So you need to be thinking about family and working together, giving and receiving help. So here we are. Now you're getting settled. You've learned a few words in your new culture. And how's it feeling?
It's getting better.
It's getting better. Good. And so this is called the resettling phase, right here. Resettling. And so any yucks at this stage? What do you think?
You're still kind of new to this stuff, and you still have to, like, try and fit in with the culture and just learning everything about the country still.
Yeah. What about where you've come from?
You're probably missing, like, your friends and people that you left over in the country that you came from.
Right. Yeah, there's still some longings, some missing. And so we talked to the kids about how we can be honest with God. And in Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call on him in truth. And we tell them, you know, the Psalms are made up of 30% of the Psalms are grieving songs, David grieving, crying out to the Lord, giving his honest, heartfelt cry to the Lord. And so we let the kids talk about some of the things that they're going to be grieving. Come on over here, Ding. So it's still a little bit unstable for a while. And then finally, you get to the settled phase. And things are, you're learning, you've learned the language, you've changed your clothes so you fit into the culture, and you're feeling like you fit again. So thank you, Dane. Let's give him a big hand. Just want to go back to the chaos stage. We talked about a lot of yucks at the chaos stage. But one of the yays is that it creates a bonding with the people in your new culture. So when you can't speak that language, I remember when Ken and I first went into Portugal, we couldn't speak the language, just a few words. We didn't know how to buy the food. You had to weigh your food, and we had needed people. We had to reach out our hands and ask for help. And that's such a bonding stage. So what seems like yucks sometimes can be yays in the end, because it's such an important phase. And that needy time, it makes you dependent on the Lord, and that's so important. So thank you for allowing me to share this transition bridge.
I've got one, thank you. Jeremy, if you can help me with the pulpit, that'd be great. If I just highlight maybe another part of Carolyn's talk here, she started to mention that perhaps she emphasized the negative side to this, but some of you are what we call cultural bungee cord jumpers, and you go, yahoo, chaos, I like that. And so for some of us that are wired differently, we respond to those experiences on a different level. So everybody's journey in this transition bridge can be different, and it's important for us to allow people, as we go through in groups, to go through at their own pace, because some people travel through that stage at a different pace, and some people will get through the chaos stage and then regress, and they'll come back and go through another chaos a second time, or maybe even a third time, before finding the resettled stage. Pretty talented pastor here. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
We're settled.
You're settled. My Bible didn't survive, though. thank you, Jeremy. Oh, yeah, I can look forward here, can't I? I don't have to look backwards. I think I'm going to have to do this a different way. Excuse me for a second. All right. So good to be here with you this morning, and we want to thank you for inviting us, but also I want to bring greetings from Pastor Mark Bolander. Jeremy and I and Robin were at the National Conference of the Missionary Church this past week, and we both said, wow, it was one of the best we had been at. And so if you want to hear some of those details, You can ask your pastor, but I told Pastor Mark, that who's become a friend of mine over the years, he actually visited us in Portugal when he was in leadership with Missionary Church, and it was good to see him again. But he said, oh, if you're going to be there with those people, please say hello. So he sends his greetings to you this morning. So here is the topic for this morning, transitions. We all go through them. We're talking about missionaries here. This is a couple girls that were at our training program called Impact, and they were there with their parents, and so they were heading off to London, England, where there is a really high percentage of Muslims. They knew that they were going to be interfacing with those, and so they came, and we encouraged people to dress respectfully to go into the mosque. They know that we're coming. We take time and talk with the imam afterwards to understand Islam from a upfront core, upfront and from their perspective. And it's a very helpful part for people as they are learning to journey along the way. Here's a picture I love, talking about the topic of transition. I believe it reflects transitions very well. Maybe we could just call out some words that come to mind and about transitions when you look at this bridge. How is this bridge similar to your experience when you go through transitions? Any thoughts that come to mind this morning? Unstable, scary, unknown, unclear. I heard one over here. Frightening, yes? No way, not going there, right. What kind of speed do you think you would tackle this bridge at? Slow, yeah. That's one of the words that come, I like some have said in the past, slow. I'm going for it, but it's going to be slow. Transitions, they're part of everyday life. What are some of the transitions that come to mind for you this morning that as we journey in our birth to death experience, what kinds of transitions have you gone through or you've seen others go through? Let's just name some of those as well. Parenting, right, yeah. No kids, kids. Marriage, yeah. Single to married life. Okay, that's a tough one. University to the workplace. Retirement, yeah. Birthdays, yeah. 50, 60, yeah. Those big ones can be a shocking transition for some of us and a realization the odometer is getting bigger. There's also, I think, one of the ones that we face that we don't consider is that process of going into widowhood and that process of losing a spouse and being in a whole different world than was before. So these are some of the things I'd like you to realize. Yes, missionaries go through this, but it's part of my life too. Even children, as they go through the developmental part of their physical body from teenagehood into adulthood, or as you head into puberty, there's those chemical changes and physical changes that take place that can really rock your world. So this morning, it is a pertinent topic. One of the things that when I look at scriptures, and you start to look at, gee, how much of the scripture deals with people in transition? And when I sat down and did a mental account, you realize there's a high percentage of the scriptures dealing with transition. The major part of the first part of the Old Testament is dealing with the people of Israel going from Egypt to the Promised Land, and you chapter after chapter of transition that's going on. You get Abraham as he moves in his first journey, going from Ur all the way to Canaan in the Promised Land. Joseph unwillingly being forced to transition from his family unit to Egypt as well. And then the two ladies mentioned here at the end, Naomi and Ruth, whose lives intersect in that experience of Naomi first going from Israel to Moab with her husband and then returning back to Israel, Bethlehem, with her Moabite daughter-in-law. Lots of transitions happening in those stories. So I think Christians, we should be good at this. There's lots of material there for us to learn from and to be able to apply to our lives. And this is my goal this morning, not only just to talk about what missionaries might experience, but what you might experience in your own lives. The question that we can see here, or I'd just like to do a quick overview of Ruth and her life in the book of Ruth. And as she went from a settled to a very chaotic journey in the book, we can see that she started off in the first part of the story, specifically Naomi, in the first three verses, goes from transitioning from Israel to Moab, and then having her two sons marry two Moabite women. So in the first three verses, we end up with one transition, two marriages, and then three funerals. That's fast acceleration in three verses of the book. So you, as a reader, go through this rapid transition with them. And when we reflect on that, think, gee, what kind of state were those ladies in by the time of that experience? It was really quite traumatic for them as they went through that settled and unsettled and chaos, and then moving to Bethlehem eventually and resettling there. We might ask ourselves this morning, well, why does God allow all these transitions to take place? Is there, what purpose is in that, those rock my world experiences? And here's a verse I'm going to read for you this morning from Acts chapter 17. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. So even though God was close to people, though he's not far from any one of us, the transition was bringing people into a state of vulnerability. It brings us into that place of weakness when we think, ah, I can handle life and tackle life. But transitions bring us to that place of a dependency and a realization that I can't handle it on my own. So as people move here to Canada, the statistics show that not only is it increasing the percentage of Christians in Canada, because the number of Christians coming to our country is higher than the percentage of Christians that we already have in our country. So there's a net positive experience here for our country. But on top of that, the people that come not knowing Christ are more available to listen to the message of Jesus Christ and are willing to consider him as their Savior. It's a wonderful experience that God is putting in the world as we realize that the United Nations calculate that there are 200 million people on the move right now, that they're moving from one country to another, still unsettled, still living sometimes in settlement camps, other people in countries like Canada that are still trying to learn another language. That's a lot of people in the world that are in transition. And I believe that there's some key lessons that we can learn from the story of Ruth. Although it's not intended to be a missionary story, there are some very strong similarities between this story and what missionaries go through. Ruth being the missionary as she transitions into a new culture, and Naomi as her coach as she goes through it. One of the things I think that we can take away from the story is that we need to trust that God is good. This is one of the qualities that Ruth exhibits very well. I'm going to read a few verses for you this morning to show you that she believed that God was good. I'm reading in chapter 2, starting in verse 6. If you have your Bibles, I will be reading this quickly and not reading every verse, but we'll be moving down the page for a few verses. Ruth chapter 2, verse 6. So Ruth has gone to the field as a preamble to go pick and harvest some stuff, some wheat for her and Naomi. And Boaz, one of the main characters in the story, shows up and says, "Who's the lady?" And the foreman replies, "She's the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." And listen to her response. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "Before I read the next section, I'd like to change the name to Jesus, because Boaz reflects the Christ figure in the story. He is the Savior in this story, the one who redeems and buys back." So Jesus replies to her, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. And here's an important part for missionaries. How you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." So he could see in her that she had converted, that she'd become a follower of Yahweh. And he could see that she had come in underneath the wings of Yahweh himself. And he was impressed with her. And Jesus says to Naomi, "Wow, I hope you and I bless you for a future that is really great." And I don't want to isolate this to missionaries. This can be for you. God has seen the sacrifices that you have made in your own life. Maybe you haven't left mother and father, but maybe you have worked hard here in the church in helping people come to know Christ. Maybe you have been involved in the community and are fighting for justice, or you're watching out for the neighbor or the elderly person on your street that really needs an extra hand. God sees each one of your sacrifices this morning that you've made. Thank you for doing that. Jesus says thank you, and he who do not escape his view of what you're doing. In verse 13, it says, "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. And then Christ says to Naomi, says to Ruth, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it into the wine vinegar." A beautiful picture of the communion story there. I believe here that Ruth has suffered greatly. She's been a displaced person. She has come into this new place, and now she's still remembering that God is good. That she's seeing, wow, I don't deserve all this blessing. So even in the midst of being a widow herself and her mother-in-law being a widow and wrestling through those emotions and having left her culture and being in a brand new culture, she realizing God is good. One of the stories of people that have come to our ministry are Ron and his wife. And Ron is a very special person. He sent in his application. And on his application, it said, we have a category, anything extra you'd like to tell us. And Ron says, "I don't have a tongue." I thought it was a joke at first, but then got to know Ron, and Ron had to have his tongue removed because of cancer. And he was determined to go to a country to work there. He's in his later 60s. He's retired now, but he has a skill set with a special skill set, and he wants to go to help in that country. His wife, sitting beside him here, has rheumatoid arthritis and can hardly get up out of her chair. But this couple was determined that they were going to help Jesus in this other country. And Ron said, "I asked God why he had to take my tongue." And he said with a big smile, "Because," and God told me, he says, "so that people would listen to you better.
because Ron has to talk like this in the back of his throat. In order to hear him, you really have to listen. And Ron loves Jesus, and he does it with a smile. He still believes that God is good in the midst of some great difficulty. I believe one of the things from the story of Ruth and Naomi is that taking courage, taking risks in times of great difficulties is one of the things that helped Ruth adapt to this culture. Sometimes when we face this chaos, we want to go into our room and huddle. But Ruth shows that she took risks. If you notice in the story, it wasn't Naomi that told her. It says, hey, why don't you go out to the field and go and gather? It's Ruth that comes up with the idea. And so she decides to take the risk, and Naomi blesses her to go. A little later on in the story, Ruth suggests to Naomi suggests to Ruth, I think we've got a plan on how we're going to catch a husband. And she tells her the story, and to me it sounds weird. Does it sound weird to you? I want you to go sleep by his feet beside the harvest pile at nighttime. That probably wasn't a safe thing to do, because Boaz hints in the story that I read here that things weren't safe and that Ruth should be careful about how she goes in the community. And so she took the risk. She was a risk taker. Taking courage is so important in our lives when we're in that phase of our lives, not to become paralyzed in our difficulties. Here was a couple that came to our course. And missionaries are saying these days, it takes 2 years to raise support to be able to go. But this couple said they felt God had told them to raise 100% in 100 days. People thought they were crazy. He quit his job in order to do this so that he could just focus on prayer and making relationships with people. When they came to us, they were about 65% in about 70 days. He says, now's the hard part because I'm here for 14 days. And I feel that I'm not supposed to raise any support during these 14 days and trust God. So he waited till after. I got news later that just past 100 days, they raised their 100% and were off to the field. People of courage. I believe the third part this morning that we can learn from the story of Ruth and Naomi is giving and receiving help. Ruth didn't sit and wait for things just to happen, but she was there helping Naomi. As I already mentioned, she was the one that decided that I would go to the field and gather the food. It wasn't Naomi. She was there to give and to support Naomi in the journey. But she also was able to receive help from others. Sometimes for Christians, and as we go into other cultures, we're learning to receive help from people that we think are poorer than ourselves is a very humbling process, and it takes a while to gain that position where you're not always on the giving end of it, but you're learning to receive people and receive things from others that have less than ourselves. It's an important phase in the process as missionaries. One gentleman that came to our program had spent 30 years in a country, was an experienced missionary, and one of his hobbies was to hike in the mountains. And when he was hiking in this particular country, he found a tribe that had not been reached for Jesus. And his mission didn't do that kind of ministry. And so he decided to change ministries after 30 years, change mission agencies to go to another mission agency so that he could focus on reaching this tribe for Jesus. His new mission agency required him to come and take the training at our program. But I know that Brian could have taught the program himself. But he was such a gracious person. He didn't just come to receive. He came to give as well. He shared in the class and carried this wonderful spirit in a very difficult time of transition and was willing to give at the same time as receive. Here's our three reminders from what we've just reviewed this morning. When you're going through transition, even though you may be in the chaos phase, is to trust God that He is good, even in the midst of the chaos. Secondly, take courage and take risks with God's direction. And don't just think about what could go wrong, but consider what the potential is for taking that risk. And then lastly, as you go through difficulty, be willing to ask for help from others to receive it, but also be looking on how you can give to others. I believe the story of Ruth is really helpful for us in those three areas this morning. So I want to encourage you to consider these truths to be applied to yourself, but can be also used for you to pray for missionaries. This is a great format to pray for people that are in ministry. Lord, please help. And you can slot in whatever name. The couple, I've forgotten the couple's name, they're heading to Peru. Pat and Eric? Okay, Pat and Eric, we pray that you will remember when you lose your luggage, that you remember that God is good. Take courage. Lord, we pray that for people that they will be able to take courage in all those circumstances and give and receive help. Thank you very much for praying for us and for being part of our helping others. We believe it's a strategic ministry in these days to come as we draw closer to Jesus coming back. And we just ask that you would continue in prayer for us. But I'd like to pray for you this morning that these truths might be true for your lives and for the people that you're sending out in mission this morning. Thank you, Father, so much that you are a good, good God. Thank you, Father, that you encourage us to take courage and to take risks in the times that are difficult. And Lord, we pray that you would give, that we'd be able to give and receive help as we do cross-cultural ministry, as we are in transition, Father, that you would give us that light and how to do that. Thank you for Country Hills and their light being bright here in this community. Father, help them to continue in ministry and be able to share with others the love of Jesus. In your name we pray.